Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Brian Ward.
Wow, what a morning, eh? It's only just begun. Come on, you lot in the back, you look like you've fallen asleep. Jim, you're happy? You're smiling for Jesus this morning. Come on. Hallelujah. There's some trouble on the back row there, I can see straight away. Two Davids, Jimmy, Big Ron, Andy. The heavy mob are in. How many were able to get to the Strong Tower Conference? Yes. Quite a few of us, some that weren't. You know, Strong Tower Conferences, if you can make it, put them in your diary now, because they're so important for us, of being able to get that impartation from men and women of God. Amen. And it's, you know, it brings direction, it brings purpose, it brings life into what we're doing here in Scarborough, and what God wants to do in Scarborough. And so it's, you know, I just urge you, you know, a real encouragement to try and book yourselves in. This morning is just fantastic. When the body comes together, you know, there's such a power, there's such a presence of God. And each of us are so important of being together as the body in Christ Jesus. And it's like a Thursday night, you know, Thursday nights, come along to a Thursday night. If we're coming together as a body, try and come along to a Thursday night. Because it's talking about God imparting to us. You know, it's talking about coming to his presence. It's talking about declaration. It's talking about seeing a difference in our lives, in the town of Scarborough and other people's lives. And rather than just sitting at home or feeling a bit tired or whatever, try and press through that. You know, let's press through our tiredness. I'm sure we could all do with going to bed, you know, and just not bothering at all for God. But that's not his plan and purpose.
I don't think so, Brian.
No. Well, so that, you know, there's days I find where I have that spirit of lethargy that might come upon me, and I think, oh, man, you know. But you need to get through and press on through that.
Come on,
you know, let's not become circumstances of our, you know, let's not become victims of our circumstances, but let's become victors in the work that's been done on the cross already for us. And so it's in that place I was coming from, Paul. I know we don't, but we do come along together. But it's just to encourage you all, you know, because God wants to do so much in this town. And when the body sort of gets separated, you know, we find that we're missing a bit of encouragement here and there. And it says we come together, we can encourage one another. We can pray into circumstances, we can build each other up. And then we can be more of a powerful force as we go out into our town, into our nation, to see God move. Amen. If you haven't been, if you didn't manage to get to the conference, the Strong Tower Conference with Paul, with Pastor Paul and Pastor Clive and Jane, you know, try and get hold of the messages, because it is such, you know, that what they bring is such depth of God's love for us and His plans and purposes. And as we, you know, I've been unfolding them. It's been quite a busy month, as Pastor Paul was saying, because we had the leaders' conference. I'm just going back through the talks from that, but what Clive and Jane bought at the leaders' conference is very much what they bought here over the weekend and on the last Sunday. And it's amazing. When I look back this morning, I've got out there Sunday, 17th of May, 2009 in Scarborough. Who remembers that date? There's a certain doctor that came over called Dr. James Maloney, and we were up in the library in Scarborough. And as you look into what was spoken of then and what was prophesied and what was declared, there's been an ongoing of that ever since. That whenever anybody seems to come here, leaders, to impart something, there's always that thing about an open portal, an open heaven over this place. It's always talking about wells being dug up again and opened up. It's always talking about angels ascending and descending. And that's what that's why we're in this certain place. You know, we're in this place, and this is what God is doing within this body in Scarborough, within Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. And we're all part of it. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
I think it's exciting. Yeah. And it's what it is Pastor Jane last week, she was talking about, and Pastor Clive, about habitation and not just visitation. Yeah. You know, let's plan our lives that though we're living here, you know, that we're actually habitating this place. We're not just staying for a visit and going on again. God says, I inhabit the praises of my people. I'm not just visiting them. And it's talking about lengthening our tent cords, you know, and spreading ourselves a bit wider so that God can then come and do something mighty and glorious that when we were singing this morning about giving him the glory for what he has done and for who he is and what he's going to be doing. And, you know, just take a second now just to think, well, what, you know, as I sing these words, well, as I come to worship God each Sunday or during the week on my own, you know, what are we giving God glory for? What has he done in your life in the last week that we can be thankful for? What has he done today? Do we come with an expectant spirit of seeing God move in his power? Do we come expectantly to be healed or be touched or to be empowered that we can go out and be a blessing to others in our daily walk with God? And there's such a desire within me, and I know within many people in this church, you know, but, you know, I just want more of God. Just more and more of God. Because I don't want to be doing things in my strength or for my purpose or for my will. I want to be doing walking in his purposes and in his will. And I remember, was it Paul was saying last week, I'm not sure if it was Paul or Clive mentioned it, but there's a famous evangelist or something, and this guy came into his house. And as he went into his living room, he saw this sign above the fireplace, and it says, "Look down." And the guy was saying, "What do you mean, look down? You know, why look down? You should be looking up, you know." And as the evangelist came into his room, the guy says to him, "You know, have you got this wrong? You know, looking down, why do you look down for?" And he says, "It's all to do with perspective." He says, "We're looking down from the position of where God has placed us in the heavenlies." You know, why it says in the Bible, it says we need faith the size of a mustard seed or we can move mountains. And why is that? Because when you're looking down from our heavenly place in heaven, the mountain looks flat like that with everything else. So our circumstances aren't overpowering us. We're on top of our circumstances. And so as we're looking from our heavenly place, as we're looking from a place that God has placed each of us, we're looking at everything is flat. You know, that mountain that seems to be causing me problems, if I'm looking at it from an earthly point, then it's overshadowing me. If I'm looking at it from a place where God has seated me in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus, then it's flat.
Yeah.
And it doesn't cause me so much of a problem. I can walk over it. I'm an overcomer.
That's right.
And that's for all of us.
Yeah.
So it's all to do with perspective. God's plan and purpose, right from the beginning, was to have a relationship with his creation. And Clive was talking about last week about creation crying out, whether it's a land, you know, the land itself, or it's a people of creation. There's that cry at the moment that seems to be getting stronger and stronger of a dissatisfaction in people's lives and things that seem to be going wrong around them in the worldly sense, that we as people of the kingdom can bring something into that situation and say, hang on a minute, we've got a God who is able to save. We've got someone that's able to set you free. We've got somebody who we can rely upon, who's our provider and who's our healer and who's our strong tower and someone who we can run into. And so God's purpose and plan right from the beginning was to have this relationship with his people. Obviously sin, we know the story of how the creation of man fell due to sin. But God's plans is way beyond our understanding and our thinking.
Yeah.
And he's already made the, you know, the ending. Jesus says, "I am the beginning and the end. I'm the Alpha and the Omega." And for what it's worth of our little plans and purposes, God's plan is a lot bigger than our understanding. But as we fit into his plan and purpose as a body and as a church, you know, nothing can come against us. It says the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. And so as we meet together, you know, the purpose of coming together and meeting together is that we can be one, you know, there's such a power in this room right now because we're all got the Holy Spirit within us. And especially maybe two or three coming together, you know, where there's 20 or 30 of us or 130 or 200 of us. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Obviously, with the sin that came into the world, God, part of his plan was to send Jesus Christ, you know, come to be manifest in the flesh himself and come as Jesus Christ, as man upon the earth. And Jesus' purposes and plans, it says in John 6 and verse 38. The reason I have come from heaven is not to do what I want, but to fulfill the purpose my Father had in sending me. His purpose is this, that I should not lose a single one of those he gives to belong to me, but ensure that they are all raised to glory on the last day. Yes, this is my Father's will, that all who turn to the Son and continue to believe in him shall receive the gift of eternal life, and I will surely raise him up on the last day. So Jesus didn't actually come into the world to do his own will, he came to do the Father's will. And that was to bring the people back, his creation, back to him by preaching the gospel of good news. You know, that victory, wasn't it? Angelos is what Clive called it. As we bring the gospel of Jesus Christ into people's lives, we're bringing a victory into their lives. Yes. We're speaking a victory into their lives. And we're singing about a victory today, you know. It's all to do with that victory that Christ has already won for us on the cross. So he came not to do even his own will. He says, I've come to do the will of my Father who sent me. Further in the Bible, it talks about, I only speak the things that my Father speaks to me, and I only do the things I see my Father do. And should that not be the same for us today then? As Christ was raising up the disciples of then, it's no different to raising up disciples of today and followers of Christ Jesus today. That we want to do the will of the Father who's called us back into his will and purposes, and into his plans. Just want to turn to Luke chapter 5. Jesus had he had that determination, if you like, whilst he was on earth, that nothing was going to prevent him from doing his Father's will. Even the cross at Calvary didn't deter him. Even the abuse that he got from the people and the anger that rose up amongst many of the Pharisees and the Jews didn't stop Jesus with having that determination and dedication. In Luke chapter 5, it says, on one occasion, Jesus was standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and the people were pressing close to him to hear God's word. You know, there's something about Jesus. Paul mentioned a week or two ago about Jesus, the attractiveness of Jesus. And there's something in us that, as we reflect the glory of God in our daily walk with him, as we go out in the streets, there should be an attractiveness, an aura of Christ within us. The same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead is within us. That we're an empowered people. You know, sometimes I feel like invincible when I'm walking down the street. Because I know in myself I don't belong to this world. That it says I'm a foreigner, I'm an alien, and I've got somewhere else to go to. But for the time purpose, you know, for this purpose in time, I'm on this planet. And I don't know, like Men in Black, you know. I've got somewhere else to go, you know. But is that, I don't know, it's just my way of thinking about things. And I just know that, you know, I can go out, you know, there's days I go out, and I'm walking tall, you know, I think, hang on a minute, I belong to the King of Kings here. You know, I'm his ambassador, I'm his representative. And there's nothing that can come against me, that can harm me or take away my salvation. And I can bring something into that person's life. I can bring a word in season for that person. I can show an act of love into that person's life. And so there's that aura that should have about us. Hang on a minute. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of the King. You know, we're singing about a king today. And he's the King of Kings. And so here's Jesus. They came to hear God's word. We are full of God's word. As we get into the word of God ourselves, God fills us with his word. There's something about the salvation, you know, the helmet of salvation. I was thinking, what were we doing with a helmet? You know, where did Paul get this thing from about a helmet of salvation? And, you know, it guards the mind, if you like, the helmet of salvation. There's a salvation means to be saved from. So it's saved from our own thinking. Saved from myself, you know, the stupid things I might think about. Let's transform our minds, it says, by the renewing of our minds by the word of God on a daily basis. So hence the word of God then can transform our thinking, and so then we can bring a word into people's lives, and as we speak the word, people will be attracted to it because it's got power and it's got authority. He noticed two boats left on the water's edge by the fishermen who were cleaning their nets. He boarded the boat belonging to Simon and asked him to push away from the shore. Then Jesus taught the people as he sat in the boat. When he had finished speaking, he told Simon, "Row out into deeper water and cast your nets for a catch." "Master," Simon answered, "we have worked hard all night without catching anything. But I will let down the nets again only because you say so." Only because what? You say so. It's not because I think it's a good idea or because I want to do it. It's because God's saying to me, look, do this. When God speaks, we need to follow up with an action. We need to be active when God speaks to us. Simon is saying there, he's a professional fisherman. He's been fishing for many years, and they've been out all night. And then Jesus says, well, cast your nets. I said, but Master, I've been out all night. You know, I know what I'm doing, like, you know, I've been fishing for the last, you know, 12 or 15 or 20 years. But because Jesus spoke, he says, because you said, I will cast my nets. I don't know if Peter had been fishing on the other side, you know, the way Jesus said, well, cast your nets on the other side of the boats, you know. You're talking about a wits boat that made a difference. You're talking a wits boat that saw a miracle happening. And sometimes we might miss it because we're just 4 feet away on the wrong side of the boat. But when he cast the nets onto the other side, when Jesus showed him, the nets were breaking with fish. Let's read on. Master Simon answered, "We have worked hard all night without catching anything. We can work as long as we like, as many hours as we want, do what we want, go where we want, do what we please, and we produce no fish. But then when we step 4 feet this way, the width of a boat, and God says, go here, go there, do this, do that, then we start to see the fish and the fruit and the things that God has got for us here in Scarborough and the surrounding area and in our nation and in our county. Master Simon answered, "We have worked all night without catching anything, but I will let down the nets again only because you say so." Having done so, the catch was so great that the nets were in danger of tearing. So they called to their partners on the other boats, "Quickly, come St. Mary's, come Methodist Church, you know, come, there's that much fish, we need all of you." Yes. Because where there's unity, God commands a blessing. So there's Kingdom Faith out there fishing, and all these fish are pirates. Oh, come along, St. Mary's. Come along, Ebenezer. Come along, Albemarle. Come along, we need you all. We're all one church. We're all the bride, because there's so many fish. Our nets are breaking. Amen. So God brings in a unity here. Christ is speaking about unity there. You know, bring the others in. We need each other. We're the body. We're the bride of Christ. I've said it before, God isn't coming back for a bride. He's coming back for a bride. So we're calling on the others now, because Scarborough is, so many people are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. All the churches, buildings are getting filled to overflowing in the surrounding areas. Why? Because Peter decided to cast his net when God said, cast your net here. Go here, go there. Very dangerous to go to a place or do anything without hearing the word of God. Yeah. Faith comes by hearing the word. Yeah. Having done so, the catch was so great. Wowee, come on. Woo! I can see Scarborough. Woo! Loads of people coming to Christ Jesus. God's promise, you know. We're in a time of acceleration, God says to this church. We're going to see great things happening. You know, the reaper is going to be overtaking the sower, because there's so many people coming to the Lord. When they did, they filled both boats to full that they began to sink. Seeing this, Simon Peter fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Please forgive me, Lord, for I'm such a sinner." He and all his crew were amazed at the size of the catch, as were his partners James and John, the sons of Zebedee. We can't outgive God in anything. Then Jesus replied to Simon, "There is nothing to fear. In the future, you will be catching men." The story here is how they beached everything they had, you know, as them becoming disciples. was just taking that analogy. Thank you. Analogy. I'll just take that analogy to show you what happens when we do what God asks us to do. And how the church in Scarborough can come together, because there's going to be that much fish when God speaks that we need one another. So they beached their boats, left everything and followed Jesus. There's something about leaving everything of ourselves behind, isn't there? Yesterday was fantastic to see 14 people getting baptized and rededicated, because they know that they want to show Jesus Christ in their lives to the world. They realize that they've been taken from a place of darkness and put into this place of light, the light of the kingdom of God, and that Jesus makes a difference to my life. And I want to show people, I want to have them experience what I've got. And so it's about giving up everything. Peter even gave up his boats and his nets. He gave up his, you know, that was his life, if you like, to follow Jesus. Further over in Luke there, you see about a tax collector. Calling of Levi. Still in chapter 5 there, verse 27, I think it is. As Jesus was leaving the town, later he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting in his customary place. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Levi rose and left everything to follow Jesus. What is it to leave everything of ourselves behind? To die of self, for me to live, is... Come on. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Amen. What is it to give up everything? You know, it's a heart condition before God. It's a heart condition before God. And it's saying, look, I don't really want to watch the TV tonight. I'd rather go out and come with a two or three Christians, and maybe we'll go prayer walking down our road, because I want to see these people's lives changed. Maybe it's to go with two or three of you into a pub. You know, Jane talking last week about mixing with those that people don't want to mix with. It's not easy, I know, but God has given us the grace and the mercy and the strength and the love to reach out with compassion. And if he says, well, go and do this, go and do it, and we'll start to see the fruit of it. It might be to go, you know, and I don't know, go anywhere that God tells us to go to. Maybe it's time for us to start setting up our own Christian-type nurseries or kindergartens. You know, maybe there's some spiritual mothers out here this morning that need to find a way into how can God use me as a spiritual mom. With lots of cuts happening that the government are making, things like nursery schools and maybe surgeries and I don't know, other things that the government are running at the moment, funding is going to be cut. And it's a great opportunity for this church to step in and say, hang on a minute, this is where we were about 100 years ago or something like that. Let's get back to where God is showing us to get back into. Giving up everything, but we're gaining more than we give up. We're gaining more than what we give up. Just want to turn to... Peter, one Peter. You know, with coming up, there's going to be quite a big event happening in May in Scarborough called On the Move and Spring Tide. And it's going to be on the weekend of the 12th to the 15th of May. And it's such an excitement to see the church in Scarborough coming together. So many different congregations. I think there's 23 individual congregations that are coming together to be part of this on the move in this spring tide. And it's with a difference of not looking in and getting a guest speaker in to speak to the church, but to look out and to do outreach into the town of Scarborough, laying on events like on the Saturday, I think there's events going to be down the beach, you know, for families. There's going to be like the rock pools and that sort of thing that kids can get involved with. There's going to be like games and sports to get involved with. Within the town, there's going to be a worship. There's going to be giving away of beef burgers to those that want a free burger or a bun in the town. There's an opportunity of doing, we're going to do a bit of street work, you know, just to take out a piece of paper and see how relevant God is to some people. And I just sense, you know, I don't know, Gemma and I have been to some of the meetings, and there's just a real excitement, a buzz of what God's going to be doing this coming year in events like this. And it's going on from there. You know, individual churches, congregations are putting on individual events, you know, like holding a tea party or a coffee morning or something like that. And Roger Simpson, who comes from the church in York next to the Minster, St. Michael the Belfry, and he does a lot of outreach work. And he's got a heart. So the team there are bringing a load of themselves across to Scarborough because they've got a heart in what they want to see God doing in our town. And so they're going to be part of doing the street work and coming over that weekend period. And where these individual events are being taken place, it's not just leading up to May, but we're hoping that it's going to continue, that each church will start putting on events and things within your life teams or something like that to invite non-Christians along. And they'll supply a speaker, you know, to come in and just give testimony. And it's just, I think it's just an awesome thing that, you know, the day that we're living in at the moment, that the church in Scarborough, there's such a unity amongst the church leaders on a Wednesday, you know, where we meet for a church breakfast and prayer time. That is, you know, they're wanting to see a level of seeing their nets full of fish, seeing people coming into the kingdom. 1 Peter chapter 2, sorry. Chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "By contrast, see what you have become, people chosen by God himself." You know, we're a people chosen by God. Roy, you're a person chosen by God himself. God has placed his hand upon you and says, "I want Roy."
Yeah.
He wants you, Roy. God wants you because he loves you. He likes you. Every person in this room, God has got his hand upon you and saying, "I love you and I like you and I've chosen you. You belong to me." Amen. Imagine that, the creator of the world saying, "Eileen, I have chosen you."
Amen.
Amen. Hey, isn't that awesome? That the God of the universe, a creator, a Father God, has got his hand on his church and said, "I've chosen each and every person." There's nothing worse when I was at school than being the last one to be picked for a team sport. I'm sure many people in this room can relate to that. Unless you're athletic type, maybe some of you were the first ones to be picked. But I used to be the last one to be picked because I was probably about 5 foot nothing and about the size of a football, I think, at the time. Oh, we'll have Brian and he can come on our side. But there's that feeling of rejection, you know. You can feel rejected or, you know, "Oh, I'm only in it because, you know, no one else wants me." But not with God. God says, people chosen by God himself. You are a royal priesthood. Wow. We're singing about a king this morning. We're not any old priesthood. You know, you're part of a royal family. You're part of a royal family this morning. We have got the royal blood in us. Isn't that awesome? You know, think, "Oh, Prince William's getting married, you know, quite a big royal family. I'm part of a royal family." Yeah. I'm not part of an earthly king or a queen. I've got the King of Kings.
Yeah,
it's that royal priesthood, not just any priesthood. We have a royal priesthood because you offer your lives in sacrifice. Remember, we've given up everything of ourselves because we want the best in our lives. We want Jesus working in our lives. We want to see his plan and purpose worked out in our lives. You are a holy nation. A holy nation. Holiness, set apart. not just any nation. We're not limited, it says, by boundaries. God's nation, his holy nation, isn't limited by going from one place to another. As Richard and Joyce went over to Israel, they didn't lose their identity of being a holy nation. They're not limited by visas or passports that you go from one place to another. Oh, I'm no longer, you know, part of this country, I'm now part of this country. We're a holy nation. Holy priesthood. A holy nation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, not nation with geographical boundaries, but a people set apart for God, a people who truly belong to him. So wherever we go, whatever we do, we're taking this royalty with us. We're taking this, wow, hang on a minute. I'm going to be walking like a king or a queen. Hi, my people. How are we doing today? You know, it just lifts me up. I just think it's great that God has chosen me. He's chosen me. He's got his hand upon me, and he's got his hand upon you, and you're a royal priesthood, and you're a holy nation. And people are in awe with what you have to say. Because what we speak and what we say is critical. I don't have time to go into the use of the tongue, but we all know about that. But we're here to build up. We're here to exhort. We're here to... help each other. Why has God done all this for you? So that we can just sit on our backsides and watch Coronation Street every night? No. Although sometimes we may want to. So that you can declare with your mouths by the way you live. What do we have to do? Declare with our mouths. It's a declaration. You know, we saw a dedication of Jesus Christ just wanting to, you know, heading towards a cross, doing the will of his Father that he's called to do. And it's the same for us. We have that, you know, that dedication of walking the path that God has put us onto. And we are people of declaration as well as dedication. And we need to be declaring the truth over our lives. We need to be declaring the truth over our circumstances. We need to be declaring the truth over our nation and over our town and over our cities. And as we start to declare the truth, you know, it's not against the flesh and blood. Jane was bringing that last weekend. But it's against the principalities and the powers. And the darkness has to flee because we are the light of the world. Amen? It's, oh, man, come on. I love it. He has brought you into his wonderful light out of that place of darkness. We're going to be declaring. We're a people of declaration. We're declaring on Thursday night here. You know, over, you know, just declaring over our town, our city. We've been declaring recently over our vision and our dare to dream. Because as we declare the truth in these circumstances, the doors will open. People will start coming in. Our lives will change. Our circumstances will change. Verse 11, so I implore you, my dear friends, because you are strangers and do not belong to this world. That's what I was saying. We're just strangers in this world. Let's not get caught up with the things of this world, but that we've been set apart from them. It's that width of the boat again. You know, I'm not just fishing in my own strength, but I'm across this side of the boat. So I'm walking on the path that Christ has placed me. That refuse to yield to any sinful desires that will only fight against the well-being of your souls. Give such an example to the ungodly among whom you live that they will see God's goodness in your lives. Even when they bring all manner of false accusation against you, for your example will help them to embrace the glory of God that is to be revealed when Christ returns. That's our example, as living as a holy nation and a royal priesthood, and the hand of God is upon our lives as we live out in that relationship with Christ. You know, Kate was talking about a depth of relationship, of knowing who she was with her Father and what the Father thought of who Kate was. And that's like all of us, there's such a depth. You know, the fishing boat had to go out into deep waters. Yeah. We can't be faffing about in the shallows because we don't catch a lot of fish around there. But there's that going out. For your example will help them to embrace the glory of God that is to be revealed when Christ returns.
Set a good example by having a submissive attitude to all those in authority over you. You have to do this for the Lord's sake. Whether you have to submit to the king or the president or the supreme authority or to those who govern you. For God creates order so that those who do wrong are punished and those who do right are commended. Going on to verse 15. So God's purpose. What's God's purpose then? Is that you silence those who speak as fools in ignorance of the truth. How do we silence them? By the example of the goodness that you set. This is a true freedom to live obediently in ways that please the Lord. But do not use the freedom he has given you as a front for evil. Live as true servants of God who show proper respect to everyone. You know, it's not just by word. We can... Ah, voice is going. Time to stop. We're not just the people of the word. The power is in the word, don't get me wrong. We need to speak the gospel. But we're also a people of actions. It's how we live our lives. It's how we live our lives. It's what are we displaying when we go out into the town? What are we displaying when I go to my workplace? What am I displaying, you know, when I, you know, if I go to my college or my university? So it's by our actions and by our words. It's speaking the truth into people's lives, bringing that angelos, that victory into their lives, but it's also living that life of victory as well. That people, and when they see us, are attracted not just by the words that we speak, but by the actions that we're doing. Because it's a submissive, you know, it's a, as we submit to God, you know, and to our leaders, there's a love that he pours in us. You know, this love is a love that just shows people, hang on a minute, it doesn't matter where you are, or who you are, or what you are. God loves each and every one. He doesn't like the sin, but he likes a person. And so it is, it's, you know, God's purpose is that we silence those who speak falsely by how we live and by what we say. Yes. Why? Because you're a royal priesthood, you're a chosen nation, a holy nation set apart for God, that his hand is upon you and upon me, and that we make a difference in our town, that we make a difference in this nation, that we make a difference in our country, that we make a difference wherever you go. I spoke to Robin and Jean. Yesterday, they've been to Spain for their holiday. I think about 4, 5, 6 months or something. 4 months, but they didn't just go for a holiday. They got involved with the church there. They got involved. You know, God was still working through them. You know, sometimes we get so easy, you know, to just put up our feet. But you know, I urge you, let's press in. We're a body that needs each other. We're no good without the thumb or the little finger. We need every part of the body. So come along. Be part of what God's got for you. Be part of what God has got for your town, for your nation. That you are making a difference wherever you go and whatever you do. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Where to go? I don't know. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just close our eyes. We're just saying on this Thursday night when we're here, you know, to some sort of need to just be still in the presence of God. And maybe it's just that time at the moment where you just need to put a few things right, maybe. If there's things wrong in our lives, it doesn't take a week to put them right. It takes about 30 seconds to repent. And when we repent, then God forgives us. It's his promise to us. And we start again. And just allow God and the Holy Spirit just to come upon you right now. The plan and purpose that he's got for your life, individually. The plan and purpose that he's placed you into Kingdom Faith Yorkshire for, as a body. As a royal priesthood, as a holy nation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, when you speak, Father, we see something happening, both in the spiritual and in the natural. We thank you, Father God, that your word brings life. It brings a freedom. It brings a authority. And Father God, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is in each of us, that your hand has been set upon each of us, that you have chosen each of us for your plans and for your purposes in this town of Scarborough and the surrounding area. Father, we thank you for each and every one of us here this morning, for your church, for a bride that you are perfecting, for a people in whom you have chosen, and a people in whom you have set apart, and a people in whom you have poured your love into, and a people in whom you are molding and forming in your hands as a potter forms the clay, that you are taking off our rough edges, that you are making us presentable, that you are making us presentable to a nation that will see the glory and beauty that we carry of you in our lives. Father God, we thank you for our town of Scarborough. We thank you for North Yorkshire, Lord God. We thank you for the surrounding villages from where we come and where we are going to. That we are making a difference in that place, Lord God. That, Father God, that as we go out, we can go out with our heads held high, not through pride, but because of who we are in Christ Jesus. Because of you what wants to build your church in this town. For you that wants to see people set free from a dark place and brought into the kingdom of light. For the light that so shines before men, Lord God. Help us shine our light before men. That as we go out, they'll be attracted to us. That we reflect the glory of such a living God. That people see something different in us. That they want something. They want to take hold of something. As we saw 14 people getting baptized, Lord, we give you the glory and the praise and the honor for the lives and the lives you have touched there. And the path that you have placed them upon. And the church that you have placed them in. For you are going to build your church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Your church, Father God, will be set upon a hill. Its light will so shine before men that people will come to it.
Yeah.
And Father, we just want to give you the glory and the praise and the honor. That, Father, help us to stand on the right side of the boat. Help us to cast our nets on the right side of the boat, Lord. Not through our own experience, but when we hear your voice. Let us obey the voice of you, Father God. Father, that when you say go, let us go. When you say stop, let us stop. When you say, be still, let us be still. And we give you the glory and the praise and the honor in Jesus' wonderful name. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.